In Proverbs, we're going to start in Proverbs chapter 18 tonight. I want to say before we get started, what an immense Is it on now? All right. Technology. And me, a geek, you know. I think we'd have that down by now. But, you know, I felt honored when I came here originally back in 1983. The body just folded itself around me. I had no trouble fitting in, even though I was from Michigan, of all the places in the world to be from. You know, up there where, you know, nobody's nice and it's cold and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And y'all know what you think of Yankees, and you're probably closer, right? You know, but I came here and y'all loved me, and I met my wife here, and I pastored here for a few years, and then you sent me out and I went out to Colorado. And I just have to tell you what an honor it has always been to come home, find the people here, remember me and still love me. I still love you. And I'm excited to be here tonight. The church on the north side has been growing slightly. It's always a wild ride when you do anything for the Lord. Doesn't matter what you do, right? Step out and do something for the Lord. It's going to be a fun ride. And if you get bored in your life, I got a message for you tonight. I can tell you how to get some excitement in your life. Just try to do something for God. That'll make life exciting almost instantly. But we're having an exciting time over there, and got a few families come visit us every now and then, and we're out preaching the gospel and preaching the gospel in our services and doing what we can to outreach in our community. So you pray for us, okay? And you pray for the other churches, the church on the south side, and the church in Austin as well, that they will all have fruit in this day. Okay, so Proverbs chapter 18, and verse 1. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 1. I want to read you a verse that ought to, if this verse does to you what it did to me, it ought to scrape you just about raw. So here it is, okay? And we're going to think our way through what he's saying here, so get ready for it. It should hurt just a little bit. Through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Alright, so we're going to think our way through this, and let's have a word of prayer before we do. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless us tonight, open our hearts and our minds. We open them to you. We ask you, O God, to have mercy upon us, to speak to us, to touch us in our heart, to do work here. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so here's the thing that I want you to think about, right? He says here, through desire, a man separateth himself and seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. That means that if you are not intermeddling with all wisdom, if you look at yourself and say, I don't have the wisdom for the things I'm facing right now, it could be a matter of desire. Okay, it's not a matter of happy accident, it's a matter of desire. And I want to tell you something, I hear this excuse from a lot of people nowadays about, I'm just not a reader, you know. And I cannot tell you how many people I hear say that stuff. You know, I'm just not a big reader. Well, then you'll just be a big fool. And it'll just be that way forever. And I don't say that word lightly, you understand? And I'm not trying to make humor. I'm telling you, God wrote a book. You will either read that book and get God's knowledge in you, or you will trip through life from one failure after another, blown about by every wind of doctrine,
Amen.
And completely unassociated with wisdom.
Amen.
You must read the book.
Amen.
And mark this down. God is going to hold you accountable for the knowledge of what He wrote in that book.
Amen.
So, through desire, a man separated himself. It isn't a fun thing to separate yourself, is it? It isn't a fun thing to say, you know what, I got some things to do, and first thing you got to do is you got to separate your fat fanny from the couch. Right? That's the first thing you got to do. You got to separate your eyes from the television. You got separate the earbuds from your ears. You got to get alone by yourself with the Lord. That's what he means by separating. Then you can seek and intermeddle with all wisdom. But if you're not going to separate yourself, you're not going to get it.
Amen.
It doesn't come by osmosis. You can't have piles of Bibles hanging around and just think, I must be getting some good Bible knowledge. Look at all these Bibles sitting around here. I got a letter a while ago from one of the groups that take Bibles around the world, Bible League, I think it was, and they were talking about some of the churches in Africa where they have up to 500 members in this community of believers. They have one partial Bible, not even the whole thing. One partial Bible for 500 members. They're busy day and night trading it around, writing out little verses and little pieces when they can, so that on whatever pieces of scrap paper they can find around, so that they've got some of the Word of God that they can read. We have tons of it around us all the time. You can buy it at the dollar store for a buck.
Well, I don't like to read. I'm just not that great a reader.
Well, get good at it.
Amen.
You know, some things are just better with practice. That's just how it goes, you know. Get good at it. It's not that hard. You know, you can figure this out. Really, you can. I have confidence that you can figure out how to read. If you need some help, there are people who will help you learn how to read. But you need that book. Now I want to take it back one step further. Through desire. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. What is it that you desire? I want you to notice that this is not, I want you to notice what he does not say here. He does not say, through a mystical calling,
amen,
a man separateth himself and seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. He does not say that it's through some ceremony that you separate yourself and seek and intermeddle with all wisdom. It is through desire that this thing happens. And that's what I want to trace through a couple of things for you tonight. And so I'm going to pick on some things that I think are kind of sacred cows in evangelical Christianity for a little bit here tonight. And I just gotta, because I just gotta lay it bare for you. I just want you to see where the Word of God stands on this thing. And the fact that we have managed to build an edifice of excuses around things instead of simply looking at the Word of God, what the Word of God says. And so some people say, well, you know, how do I know what the will of God is for me in my life? Okay, well, let's find out about that. Okay, we're gonna take a look at this. It's gonna be fun, okay? Let's go to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. We're gonna move around a little bit tonight. Sorry about that. I know I don't normally do that, but tonight it'll be a little bit of a Bible drill. Romans chapter 15. Here's the great apostle Paul. I want you to notice how he thinks about his calling in his ministry and where he should go and what he should do in his life. Here it is, ready? Romans chapter 15, verse 24. Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. There it is. I want you to notice what he just said. Now, we're not done. We're going to read some more there in a minute. But I just want you to notice what he just said. One of these days, this is Mike paraphrase. One of these days, I'm going to take a journey into Spain, and when I do, I'm going to come by and see you guys. He doesn't say, I'm praying about it, and I'm hoping that the Lord is going to give me a green light, and I'm going to know that it's the right time for me to go to Spain, and if the Lord somehow wills it, I think I'll take a little detour on the side and come see you. He says, one of these days, whenever I do it, I'm going to go to Spain, I'm going to come see you. Now, I want you to notice, we're going to keep going on for a minute, okay? He says, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. In other words, let's see if I can paraphrase this too. He says, I'm going to hang around with you guys for a little while and enjoy some fellowship with you before I leave you. Right? I'm gonna spend some time in your company. I'm gonna come by and see you, spend some time in your company, and then I'll go my way. All right? Verse 25. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister to the saints. Who told him to go to Jerusalem? Did you ever notice God told Paul, don't do that. If you go to Jerusalem, you're going to get in bonds and affliction. And those things await you. And Paul said, yeah, but I'm going there. But I desire to go to Rome. You know, he eventually did get to Rome. He got exactly where he wanted to go. He got there in chains, you know, but he got there, amen. And so, and that's a good thing. He managed to make it where he wanted to go. Verse 26, for it pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. I want you to notice this. He doesn't say, God instructed those at Macedonia to make certain contributions for those at Jerusalem. It pleased them to do it. I'm just trying to get you accustomed to the Bible language that he's talking here. If I'm reading this verse right, the implication is that we, through desire, separate ourselves from carnal things in this world and intermeddle with things of the other world and then follow a desire to please God, and in doing so, set about with our own plans to do godly things. You'll see what I'm saying. We're going to just keep going for a minute here, okay? Verse 27, it hath pleased them, verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this, and have sealed to them this fruit, in other words, when I get done delivering this money, I will come by you into Spain. Notice what he says here. He doesn't say, I'm praying about it, I've laid out my fleece, I've gotten some, you know, some testimonies from some other people that this is the thing that I should do. I've gotten witnesses and confirmation, and therefore I know it's the will of God for me to go to Spain and to go through Rome to get to Spain. He doesn't say any of that. He says it flat out. I'm going to go down to Jerusalem, deliver this. Then I'm going to go to Spain. I'm going to stop by and see you on my way. And I am sure, verse 29, when I am come unto you, I shall come in the fullness and blessing of the gospel of Christ. Notice how he says it again. I am sure that when I get there, God is going to bless me. Isn't that a different way than you hear most people talk? Isn't that a different way than you hear a lot of people think about it? Well, I wonder what God's will is for me this year. I used to like Dale's explanation of it. He used to put it this way. I'll never forget it. He says, if I hired you, Mike, to go and sell my shoes, if I was a shoemaker and I said, Mike, I want you to go sell my shoes, and you called me up and said, hey, Dale, I'm thinking about maybe going to Mexico and seeing if I can sell some of your shoes down there in Mexico, I would say, hey, that's a good idea. I hired you to sell my shoes. Why don't you go sell some of my shoes? And if you got into Mexico and said, hey, you know what, I'm down here in Mexico selling shoes, I think I'd like to go to San Luis and sell shoes, I'd be like, yeah, fine, great, go to San Luis, sell some shoes. That's a great thing to do, you know? And if you called me up the next morning and said, hey, you know what, I'm thinking about going to breakfast before I sell some shoes, I'd be like, well, you gonna sell my shoes? Through desire, Paul wanted to go see the Romans. Now, you may not believe me yet, but we're not quite done. So let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I intend to show you something tonight, and I hope it blesses you. And if it doesn't, then I hope it hurts you. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 12. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come to you at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time. Now, isn't that a strange way for an apostle to be speaking? Don't you think he ought to be saying, me and Apollos got alone together, and we bowed our heads, and we sought the face of the Lord, and we understood what his will was, and his will was for Apollos not to come to you at this time, but God's going to open a door and show you, Apollos, which way he should go and when he should come to you. But that's not the way he talks. It says he didn't want to right now. He was busy ministering somewhere else and thought he might have a better ministry there, so he was going to do something else before he came and saw you. But he told me one day he's going to come and minister there. The area Paul talked about, hey, I want to come and have some fruit among you also. Remember when he said that? Hey, there's a good place over there. I think I'll go there and do something. It's kind of like fishing, you know? It's kind of, you know, you're out there. Who was it a while ago? I think it was Lyndall was telling me Lyndall and Verlene were telling me about Linda's grandpa Bell one time was out fishing with a friend and Lester Roloff in a boat out there fishing. And don't you know, Lester Roloff was catching fish on one side of the boat. And the other two guys were on the other side catching nothing. So they started complaining about, yeah, that preacher, you know, I don't know, he's got a special connection. He said, all right, come on, you guys come fish on this side, I'll go fish over there. So they switched sides, and he goes fishing over there, and now he's catching all the fish on the other side of the boat. It's kind of like that, isn't it? You start catching fish, and people say, hey, you know what, I want to come and work there and catch some fish over there. I want to go and eat some of that good stuff. Well, go do it then. Go do it. That's what Apollos did. That's what Paul did. Paul said, I wanted him to come. He didn't want to. We're not done yet. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. First Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. But we, brethren, being taken from you... chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come to you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. I want you to notice how Paul does it. I want you to notice how the great apostle Paul does it. He says, I'm going over there, and he just takes off and starts heading over there. Something hinders him, and he doesn't get through. One time, you find out in the book of Acts, it's God who doesn't let him go. And then the next time, it's the devil who doesn't let him go. But you just got to understand, Paul's view is, I want to go over there and do this great work over there, so I'm going to go over there. Not a whole lot of deliberation going on. A lot of desire to do something for God.
That's right.
A lot of desire to do what he's supposed to be doing, preaching the gospel. And he says, you know what, I can do it here, I can do it there, I can do it, I'm going there.
We're still not done yet.
1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. You ever notice that? Did you ever notice that he doesn't say, if a man is called to be a bishop, he is called to a good work? Doesn't that kind of bother you? Don't you wish he had? But that's not what he says. He says, if a man desires it, he desires a good thing. And through desire, a man separated himself and seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. I'm asking you tonight, what is it you really want to do? You might be wondering, well, I wonder what I'm called to do. I got an easy answer from that. Here it is. Go ye therefore into all the world. Now, in light of that, let me ask you this. Do you have any instruction to stay where you are? I got orders to go. Do you have orders to stay? It's just that easy. What is it that you want to do for God? Why don't you try doing it?
Amen.
Give it a shot.
Amen.
Aim high. I mean, aim really big. Right? Look at it and say, hey, I can preach as good as that guy. I bet I could. I bet I could learn to preach like that. I bet I could learn to bellow out the Word of God and tell people what the Lord means. I bet I could do that. Let me have a chance at it. Next open meeting, I'm coming in here. I'm going to start preaching like that. I'm going to learn. I'm going to figure out how to do that because I want to preach like that.
Amen.
Maybe you're looking at it saying, I could pass out tracts. I already know two languages. I could learn a third one. It ain't that hard. Well, then go somewhere and do it.
Amen.
Say, well, I don't know if I'm called to be a missionary. You're called. You're called. Do you see the need? Do you have the ability? Do you have the desire? Then why don't you separate the flabby part of you from the flat seat you're on and go do something about it?
Amen.
Look in Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. I spent some time recently really looking through Scripture on the will of God. And I learned a fascinating and amazing fact. I'm going to share it with you. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say unto you by the grace, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt every man the measure of faith. Okay, so here's the great secret of the will of God, right? Every place is going to hurt you. It hurt me. Every place that the New Testament talks about the will of God, it's God's will for the kind of person I'm supposed to be, not what I'm supposed to do. Watch, I'll show you. Look over here. Let's see. Down in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I'll show you. Every time He gives us instructions about the will of God, it's about the kind of person we ought to be. Listen, He doesn't even tell you who you're supposed to marry. He just tells you the kind of husband or wife you're supposed to be. He just tells you the kind of person you're supposed to marry. The qualities of the person, He doesn't tell you who. And then He goes off and He says this fantastically insane thing, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor with the Lord, but He doesn't tell you how to find her. You reckon maybe a little wisdom and desire ought to have something to do with the problem?
Right.
You reckon maybe you're sitting around waiting for God to bonk you on the head and He keeps saying, son, I told you to make that decision. Boy, I am not making that decision for you. You make that decision, son. Make a wise one. Well, how do I make a wise decision? Make a few foolish ones. Read my book. I gave you an instruction manual. Seek some counsel. There's some really wise people out there. But in the end, son, you've got to make that decision. I won't. But Lord, I want you to show me who you have for me. You ever think of how ridiculous that was? Think about it this way. Let's say God has someone just for you. And you miss it and you marry somebody else. Now here's the problem. You're in for life. Right? You don't get out, right? Now you have taken the other person who was specifically ordained for you, and you have forced them into a situation of marrying somebody else who they weren't ordained for. Now that person is married to somebody that they weren't ordained for. Which means, you understand how this is a geometric problem, right? You make one bad decision and you've sunk the whole race.
Amen.
Now, why would God have some secretly, specially ordained will for you and then hide away for you to try to discover, only to make it so difficult for you to discover that you could never find it and make a bunch of mistakes along the way. That does not sound like a loving God. What if, just what if, and here's my proposal to you tonight, what if God has created you to do something for Him with the days and strength that He has given you and then told you to do something you'd enjoy doing for Him? Pick something good and go do it. And what if God said, if you go do it, I'll bless you. Think about it. Look at chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. There it is. The will of God for you is what kind of person you are. You understand, if you're saved in this room tonight, you are predestinated by God to be conformed to the image of His dear Son. The will of God has predestinated exactly the kind of person you're going to be. Think about this. God is all-knowing and all-powerful, but Jesus learned obedience by the things He suffered. What do you desire? Do you desire to do anything for God? Or are you just hoping you can always have a place where you can go and the body of Christ will always enfold you and you'll always have a nice cushiony, pillowy thing that you can do and be part of? Or do you really want to do something for God? First Thessalonians chapter 5. You know this passage, verse 16. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Isn't it interesting? God doesn't talk like most evangelicals talk. God doesn't talk about, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you an open door, and that's how you'll know what my will is. Tell you what, I'll tell you what you do. You lay out a fleece, And I'll answer you, and then you'll know what my will is. Did you ever notice He doesn't do that? How many times in your life have you sought leading from God, and in seeking leading from God, have gotten nothing? Because He said, use wisdom, not make Him make the decision for you.
Amen.
We're going to be kings and priests. We're going to judge angels. Somewhere along the line, you need to step up to the mark and decide, I am going to be a man of God and learn some wisdom and go do something for the Lord so the day He makes me a king and I judge angels, I got some experience under my belt with the thing.
Amen.
Amen. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Second Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a great door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence to Macedonia. Well, I want you to think about this for a minute. If you're supposed to run your life by open and closed doors, there's an open door and Paul just turned around and walked away from it. Why? I want to see Titus. I don't know where he's at. I got to go find that man. I want to go find Titus. I know there's an open door here, but I'm going over to find Titus. Did it ever strike you odd the way he discusses marriage? He doesn't say, this is how you should know who you should marry. He says, if you marry, marry somebody who's a Christian. If they're divorced, they ought to have the right Bible base to be divorced. Marry somebody the opposite sex.
Amen.
Beyond that, listen to the will of God. You're probably happier if you don't. That's it, man. You got the will of God on marriage. There it is, man. Well, wow, deep teaching, isn't it? That is a... Now, beyond that, if you do get married, he's got a lot of instructions on what kind of husband you ought to be and what kind of wife you ought to be. But other than that, that's the Bible teaching on marriage, man. Pretty simple. 3 points. Well, how do I know who I'm supposed to marry? Well, there's a couple of Bible examples you could follow. You could do what Isaac did and let your dad pick him out for you. By the way, that might be the smartest choice you ever made in your life. There's a couple more Bible models you could follow. Go to a big party and hang out behind the ferns, and when the women come by, grab one, take her home, make her your wife. There's another Bible model. You know what? You can go into battle, find a woman who pleases you, take her home, shave her head, trim her nails, give her new clothes, and she's your wife. Or here's my favorite. Go cut 200 foreskins off your future father-in-law's enemies and get a wife. There you go. You understand, God left you hanging in a lot of ways. Because nowhere did God ever indicate that He was going to give you leading and guidance in every decision of your life. You gotta want it.
Yep.
If this great endeavor, and trust me, I've been around the world, man. I have seen churches. I spent a year in El Paso visiting churches. It is a disaster out there, man. It is a disaster. If this great endeavor should ever fail, it will fail when we no longer desire to do something risky, dangerous, and fun for God. And if you aren't doing something risky and dangerous and fun for God today, I have pity on you. You are missing out. You are wasting your life. You are wasting it working away at a job that won't make a hill of beans of difference in this whole world 5 years from now. The only thing that makes difference is when you get a desire to separate yourself and seek an intermeddle with all wisdom. You say, I want to go do something for God. And people will tell you all sorts of reasons why you shouldn't. And every one of those reasons why you shouldn't, you should consider very carefully because it might be wisdom. But after you've considered it very carefully and you say, no, I think I'm going to go there and I think I'm going to do it, then go do it.
Amen.
Say, yeah, but what if I start pounding on a door that the Lord doesn't want me to go through? Well, that's a good question. It's a very good question. How would you know the difference between a door the Lord doesn't want you to go through and a blockade that the devil put in your way that you're supposed to overcome? I don't know. I have quit trying to figure that out. I'll tell you my answer now, okay? I figure God's stronger than me, and if He doesn't want me to go somewhere, He is perfectly capable of stopping me from doing it. Otherwise, I'm going to make a good plan, choose a good path, and I'm going to go there if I have to defeat foes, beat down doors, take down strongholds, and kill enemies in the process, because I want to do something that's worth doing, that's going to count for something in the end. Amen.
Amen.
What do you want? What do you desire to do for God? This mission conference is not about just you getting revived in your heart and having a closer walk with the Lord. This mission conference is about you sitting there and feeling like, maybe I'm not doing the things I ought to be doing. Maybe I could be doing more. Maybe I ought to have a vision for something bigger than what I got a vision for now. I've got a challenge for you. Try this one on for size. Try to get a bigger vision than anyone you know. Try to figure out the greatest thing that you could do for the Lord. Just imagine it. And then go do the thing. Start out and say, I'm going to go do that. 100,000 people will tell you why you can't. A few people will stand back and say, you know, you just might be the one who could pull that off. Get really close to those people. Build a good, strong foundation and go do it. You have heard me say this before. It bears repeating. All you need. Now listen to me. Maybe I need to set the stage for this. In this room tonight, there are people who think it is too late for me. And they will think that for a number of reasons. Some of them will think, I have failed too many times. As though volume of failure had something to do with your inability to do something for the Lord. They will think, I have some intrinsic weakness that prevents me from doing it. Billy and I were talking about that last night, and he pointed out to me, hey, have you ever, but when was the last time you took a look in the mirror, you know? I mean, you know, it's a good joke, it's funny, but it's true, you know. I got this face. It's mine. I live with it. Okay? I get kind of comfortable with it. I know it hurts you, but that's all right. I don't mind that. I got this brain that thinks weird. Some of you got challenges I could never imagine. Well, Brother Mike, I got challenges you wouldn't know about. Some of you think, well, I'm a woman, or I'm a child, or I'm old. Listen to me. All you need is the Word of God in your hand, the desire to serve God in your heart, and the will to step out and do it. And you can do anything for the Lord. Now, you might not think that. You might think, well, maybe not anything. Prove me wrong. Take a little time in your life and prove me wrong. Try it for a little while. Step out and try doing something impossible and see if it can be done. So, well, you know, you just don't know, brother. I just don't have that talent. Well, maybe you don't. Maybe you ought to pick something along the line of your talent. I don't know. But I know if you desire, you already meet the greatest qualification for the will of God. If you want to do it, you already meet the greatest qualification. Do you want it bad enough to get up and do it? Maybe you'd be like the Macedonians and just sit there and say, you know what? We really want to bless the saints over there. We really want to give them some money. We want to send some money over there and just take care of them. That's what we want to do. You know what I would love to see? I'd love to see somebody stand up and say, you know what? I am sick and tired of hearing about this Polish Bible translation project. I want it done.
Okay. Log on to Brent's website and just ask him what it would take. He'll send you a number. You send him a check. It'll happen. The problem isn't their willingness. The problem is the time they have to devote to it on a daily basis. And the only way you can get that is with enough money so you don't have to go out and work and do other things. Maybe you're looking at it and saying, I'm tired of hearing about just Poland and Mexico. Where else can we go? Oh, that's a great question. I'll get some ideas for you. I'm tired of seeing only three churches in San Antonio here. You know what? There ought to be at least one for every point on the compass. Somebody better go east and do something about this thing. Well, you're right. Somebody ought to. Maybe it ought to be you. But what you ought not do is let the next year pass and find the flabby part of you still in contact with the soft part of the chair.
Amen.
And no desire in your heart to do something for God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.